welcome to your 2014 spring reading. My name is Eric Francis. I'm an astrologer. I'm holding an astrology chart that I've been cooking up the past few days for you and thinking about the nature of how the transits of spring 2014 influence you. Like with most of the signs, the way this influences you is happening on a few different levels. But I want to just start, before I get too far into things, with the first idea, which is that there is an eclipse of the sun that takes place at the end of the month, on the 29th of April, in the sign Taurus. Taurus is a fixed sign, like Leo is a fixed sign. It is on the same cross, called the fixed cross. And the events on the fixed cross influence all of the signs on the fixed cross the most profoundly. And in some ways, the fixed cross is kind of quiet right now, but that will change when the sun changes signs on the 20th, and then the next thing that happens after that, about 9 days later, is that there will be an eclipse of the sun in Taurus. And Taurus is your 10th house. It's your 10th house by whole sign houses if you're Leo rising, and it is your 10th solar house if you are Leo sun. The effect is the same. It's the 10th place, and the 10th is the zone of achievement. It is also the area in the chart where we look for information about reputation. It is where we take executive authority in our lives, and it also represents stories about how we relate to others in authority. So it's got a whole kind of full spectrum discussion on the general topic area of leadership and authority and reputation, achievement, and purpose. All related topics, at least in the mind of the ancient astrologers who gave us the initial guidance that put together these groupings of themes. And the houses are somewhat ingenious in terms of how they group those themes together. And all of those themes are what get activated by the April 29th eclipse in Taurus. Now, a lot of the discussion in and around your astrology involves change. And those born on the fixed cross, with the possible exception of Aquarius, which kind of gets a category of its own, typically find altering patterns to be challenging. Aquarius sometimes gets a pass because it can have that sensation of the only constant is change. But Aquarians can get stuck in patterns too, but I think that often they're the first to get their butt kicked by the need to change, because there's just that constant energy crackling through Aquarius that seems to be the reference point for change for the entire fixed cross and in some ways for society. But that's a deep discussion, and at least in terms of the technological world, the patterns being formed in Aquarius look like they are not going to be changing so much. But in the social world, and in the world of a human person, kitty cat like you, you tend to depend upon others to be your engine of change and of progress, and to keep your environment moving, and in a sense to challenge you to change. And I'm sure that if I were Leo, I'd have a love-hate relationship with this, because, you know, I would like to settle into my patterns, and then I would know that I need to keep the energy moving, and then I would be frustrated that other people always were pushing me for my environment and changing things around me and, you know, rearranging the stage all the time. And then I would be glad that I had these people in my life who are engines of change. So that's something that always is true for Leo in some context or another, because you have an Aquarius on the opposite house over in the seventh in your environmental and relationship zone. But what's special about this time is that there's going to be this beautiful eclipse right on top of your chart. And what it is saying to me, ultimately, the bottom line message of this is that it is time to up your game professionally, to go to the next level or make a multiple jump in levels. There's something here in any event, whether you think of it in terms of levels or not, about taking authority and mastery over your professional life. And that means setting quality goals, setting goals for achievement, and making sure that you are always starting and completing goals in an endless, never-ending, driven cycle. Now, you don't have to do that. I mean, I've just told you my reading of the chart and injected some of my values in the chart, but that's why you've got me for your astrologer. But you seem to have a need to accomplish things. You certainly want to serve people. That's soaked into the DNA of Leo, like few things are. And when you think about it, your ruling planet is a star. You're the only sign that has a star for its ruling planet, that star being the sun. And the sun is different from all the other planets because they all orbit it. And so Leo is in this natural position of leadership. But it also has to be the gravitational center that holds together the rest of the solar system and in effect is equally in a submissive role as it is in a leadership role. So this can, there's a kind of ripples coming from a couple of different directions here in terms of how you relate to your calling to leadership. But one thing is clear, that whatever your preferences or your patterns may be, there's an eclipse coming in your 10th house, and it looks like a promotion. It looks like it is time to orient on the 10th house, on the house of full-on leadership, which almost always means involvement with others on your level. There is no effective leader who does not have a brain trust around them. And that aside for a moment, your choice to stand in your power and your authority is vital right now. And I would just point out to you that that forthcoming eclipse presents you with not a mandate so much as a deeply compelling option, the opportunity to step up, the opportunity to answer a calling that may have been summoning you for quite a long time, and to fully manifest and express yourself as the person that you know you are in terms of playing a vital role in the world transformation that's going on right now, or playing a vital role in the growth and development and the maintenance of the world as we know it. It's not as necessary as, in my opinion, as many people think, to be stepping out and away from the known and into the future, although it is clear that we need plenty of people to be doing that. But there is a lot of room in the world for people to act with conscientiousness and dedication to quality in terms of what they are doing every day. And whether your calling is one to a kind of new direction of leadership or ordinary leadership, whatever that is, or participation, the common thread that they all have is something that goes by the name, at least in my kind of spiritual dictionary, of Dharma, acting as if to hold the world together. Now, my sense is that you have more to do, more to achieve than you may have given yourself credit for. People do tend, I've noticed, to think in either extremely grandiose terms about what they can achieve, or they tend to undersell themselves and don't quite recognize how much they can get done, or how much they're being called to get done, or to believe that the goals they have are real and are worthwhile. And so there is no need to be grandiose about solving all the problems of the world, but there is space and a calling, an invitation, room for honoring yourself as someone who is on the side of progress. But ultimately, it comes down to you claiming your authority over your life, and in particular, over your career and the work that you are doing, and consciously striving to meet some of or all of your highest and most grounded goals, real goals, whatever they might be. Now, let's take step away from the fixed cross for a second, because most of the action is on the cardinal cross and the cardinal signs, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn, and Aries. And where those signs fall into the Leo chart is in the what are called the cadent houses. This is getting a little bit technical, but they are, think of it this way. First house, very powerful house, house of I am. Second house, first house is angular. Second house, succedent house, that is a place where we seek something solid, and where we relate from our most grounded values. The next house is the third house. That's called a cadent house. The cadent houses, in some ways, are the strangest houses because they represent a morph of the inner and the outer environment in a very distinct way. They are all about the mental environment. They all houses represent environments, but the cadent houses, more than any other house, represent the goings-on of the mind on a number of different levels. And there is a very distinct description in your charts of a need to get focused in your mind, to really understand the way that your mind works, and to be able to then utilize your mind as a tool, not the master of your existence, but as a tool of your soul, as an expressive kind of instrument of your soul, and to get focus, and in the process of getting focus, to be able to build your confidence. The first two of these houses in your chart, the third and the sixth, represented by the signs Libra and Capricorn, show an enormous amount of movement, distressing instability. For example, Mars retrograde in the third house in Libra could easily be described in basic 101 astrological terms as a mental struggle around making decisions, and decisions that are delayed by lack of confidence, and the struggle to make decisions leading to a lack of confidence. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is a calling to focus, and a calling to prioritize the necessity for and the power, understanding the power of decisions, to really honor that, almost to set up a shrine in your life to the decisions that you have to make. And we all know that lots of people on this planet struggle with the decisions they have to make, and have numerous ways of evading making decisions. It's almost a specialty of the human race, how to evade making decisions, who to get involved in making the decisions that then delays it or that subverts the power of decision. Circumstances that get in the way of making decisions. Oh, I would have decided that a long time ago, but that happened, or I've made so many bad decisions, I'm not going to make any decisions. All of those excuses, and there are many other forms that they can take, are things you need to be vigilant about spotting and not putting up with. The goal that I see in your charts is to become the master of your mind, the master of decisions, and to fully embrace the fact that without the ability to make decisions, a person cannot be free. They cannot direct the course of their own life. There is very little that can be done without decisions being involved. And so it is your power of decision that I am reading here, that I'm proposing to you, is the most profound message and lesson of the astrology of the spring of 2014. And that is the kind of transit, the kind of series of events that I consider threshold transits. It's not a thing that comes and goes. It is a series of events that open up a new dimension, which you then enter and proceed entirely from within. Now, it's possible to balk on that and stay out of it and to resist and to fight it and to pretend that it's, the human mind is capable of stunning feats of evasion and denial. And I'm counting on the fact that you are committed to who and what you want to be. You are committed to life. You are committed to the world. That's a very important thing for anyone in even the most casual position of leadership to demonstrate right now. And as Leo Sun, who is ruled by the planet that the world, known as the Earth, orbits, I would say that you have the potential to be dedicated to the world. But of course, before that comes this, matter of being sufficiently self-reflective and introspective and aware of your life process that you venerate, kind of worship, the truth that the way that we steer our lives on the physical plane is by making choices. And so I suggest that you embark upon the science of making choices. And a lot of that involves and stems from the science of knowing what your options are. And there is if that's a science, then the art of life, as described by all of this, is the art of making more options for yourself. All right, let's turn the wheel 90 degrees and go to the next house. That'd be the sixth, and that is Capricorn. The sixth is the house of your environment of work. The third is the house of the mental environment. The sixth is an extension of the mental environment. It is a very mental place. It is a lot of activity and thought going on there, and study and work and learning. And you have Capricorn on this house. This is a picture of your devotion and your dedication and it to work and to work process and to getting things done. But there's an odd kind almost a cosmic joke about that talks about your relationship to whether you are in the dominant position as a leader or the submissive position as a follower in the work environment. Capricorn is a very ambitious sign, traditionally held as such, and we all have plenty of evidence. And whether this holds true for every Capricorn person, which obviously it doesn't, that's the role in the great drama that the sign Capricorn plays, where it falls in a chart. There's the desire to achieve. There is a steadiness to Capricorn, and there is the need for grounded, solid, tangible achievement in the sixth house, at work, and in service. And so there is the factor of leadership by example, but there is tension about calling yourself forth into the true kind of stature of your power as someone in a position of creative and administrative authority. A few other kinds of authority, too. So be all that may what it is, be there what it is. Pluto's in this house, and Pluto is making constant changes. I don't know where you work, but I would take a guess that you're in an environment where there's a lot of change. It also happens to be true that we are in a time when there is a lot of change going on in work environments, work patterns changing, companies constantly in the process of restructuring, decisions constantly being made, and your invitation into what you can think of as the management team is to get with it on those processes of change. Understand right now that for the foreseeable future, that's the thing that needs to be. There's a lot of structural problems with the world. There's a lot of waste. There is a lot of energy loss, inefficiency. And part of how that's remedied is by restructuring. And you are in this environment that appears to be constantly being restructured. And Mars in the third is about to make a square, a very powerful square. Both planets will be retrograde. And so there's an inner dimension to this that's rather compelling. And it would seem that this process of structural change is accelerating, but that it is also possible that you are perfectly synchronized with it for the right changes to happen within you and around you at exactly the right time. So instead of predicting what's going to happen, and instead of, you know, predicting right now is a scary thing because there's a lot of dark predictions going around, and the future, I would say, is fairly uncertain. But you can work with the moment, the time that you have in this moment, to be present for the changes that are happening and do your best to be in alignment with them and to do your best to focus your power of decision on your ability to stay in sync and to participate in progress, knowing full well that it may make you very uncomfortable to do that, knowing full well that you seek little other than stability and, you know, having things be somewhat predictable. It would make sense, you know, to wake up in the morning and say hello to yourself and then say, okay, today is going to be another day of productive change, and I'm going to participate in that as best I can. Okay, I might have more to say about this house. We are talking about Pluto in Capricorn. And the one thing I would add here is to be cognizant of how far-reaching the process of change is, and to recognize that there is no limit to the extent that you can open your mind and understand the movement of society and the movement and reorganization of basically of the world on many different levels, and to access information that is relevant and applicable immediately right now. Okay, next environment. Ninth house. This is a bit of a futuristic house because the ninth house is the house of visioning, and it's necessary for anyone who succeeds, I think, to have a vision, to cultivate their vision, And you were definitely having what you might think of as flashes of vision. There is a reality to that dimension for you. The planet is Uranus. The sign is Aries. And where Aries exists in any chart is a seat of the personality in that chart. And the implication of having Aries on the ninth house is that whatever else you may identify with, you really do get this thing about needing to think in the long run and to project in the long run and to take steps, take conscious steps that get you there. And between the third house Mars retrograde in Libra, insistence that you focus your mind and that you focus your power of decision, the balancing factor of that, the 180 degree away factor about that in Aries in the ninth house is to stretch into the long run, not in terms of predicting, not in terms of planning, but to hold a vision for the life, for the world, for the work that you want to invent. Really feed that quality. It is essential for you to have that because human beings live on oxygen and food and water and affection and some recognition and some sex. But the other thing that we live on is a vision. The ability to open up new psychic space and advance into that space, occupy that space, open up new psychic space, move into the next dimension. And with Uranus and a group of other planets there, there is the message that it's necessary to let go of old visions, to recognize when you're living out an old vision, and equally necessary to be in a constant process of letting in or at least observing and recognizing those flashes of insight about the future that may very well be giving you really specific information for how it is that you are going to invent that future. Now, this is not necessarily something that you need to be acting on all the time, and I would recommend that actually this is probably best not acted upon until your theories and your visions are tested. But the testing process can happen. And of course, if you are entertaining a vision and embracing and courting a vision, that's going to feed your immediate choices in the moment. It's going to provide a point of orientation for you. And while you may not be able to move fully into the most idealistic or highest vision that you have, merely contemplating that vision, having that vision at all, provides a kind of a magnetism that informs you and keeps you guided in the right direction. Hence, the solution to the state of the world is not to like knock everything down and start over again, but rather to orient on the way things could go that would be much happier and healthier than the way certain things that are existing on the planet right now are going right now. One little clue from Uranus is that it can suggest that there is a group process of some kind going on. Uranus does not always represent groups, but it's well worth checking in on the group theory of Uranus and to recognize who around you is in the role of co-visionary and put your minds together and see where you can go. Because Uranus touches Pluto in the sixth and Mars in the third, there are obvious connections to your own inner thought process and the collaborative process in your work environment. And you have very nicely placed Uranus in Aries in the ninth house. And this is a reminder that you may very well be the person in that group who is, though nobody voted for you to do so, be the person who holds, either holds the vision or taps into that visionary quality and guides the entire process in the direction of what you might think of as the right future. Okay, one more planet on the cardinal cross. This is also in what's called a Caden house. It's your 12th house, the weirdest and most interesting and I think most fun house of them all. I'm a Pisces. I would say that. I do like things that defy all known logic and all the rules of the world, and I love visiting various places on the dream plane. And the sign for you here is Cancer, and the planet for you is Jupiter, and the zone is the 12th house, and this represents the ability to let go of fear and to accept protection. 12th house can be a scary place, and you could do really no better than to have Jupiter in Cancer. It's one of its favorite signs. And when you've got one of Jupiter's favorite signs, you know you're doing good in the 12th house. This, to me, is saying, look within for reassurance that you're on the right track. Accept the fact that you have some protection, and accept the fact that you provide protection. You provide a dimension of spiritual grounding for people that reminds those who are paying attention, and even some who may not be paying attention, that they're safe. So practice being safe. Practice feeling safe making decisions. Practice feeling safe in the midst of a lot of change. Practice feeling safe standing high up somewhere and looking out in the direction of some future and thinking, how could this world be? How could this world be? Let's get this world a little closer to being how it could be. Interesting charts, right? It's amazing how basically reading the same chart from sign to sign, but the story changes totally. And the reason the story changes totally is that the houses all shift 30 degrees each time I go through a sign. And when you move the story into a different context, because the houses provide context, the whole story changes. It's a beautiful thing. Astrology is a fucking work of genius. Whoever came up with this thing, this system, was really, really smart. One last house. I want to cover one last house. It's a very intimate house in your chart, perhaps the most intimate house, and there is a lot going on. This is the 8th house. If you are Leo rising, 8th by whole sign houses. If you are Leo sun, solar 8th house. You have Pisces on this house. Right at the moment, Pisces is a very busy sign. That means your 8th house is a very busy house. The 8th house is the house of, from the old book, Death, Dowry, and the Substance of the Bride. It is the house of the transfer of wealth, the house of the marital contract, inheritances, legacies. It's also a house associated with experiences of profound sex, especially with Pisces there. And it is the, I think, the most important relational zone in the chart, especially yours with Pisces. It represents a kind of an opening to contact with humanity, and to some extent, humanity that has been here before and passed through the physical plane, that is to say dead people, and humanity that is not yet manifest, that is to say all the unborn souls who are still orbiting around various people waiting for their opportunity to slip in, which they do. And you've got a lot of planets here now. And they are almost all minor planets. The planets currently consist of Nessus, the newest arrival. After spending 10 years in Aquarius, Nessus is now in the process of moving on into Pisces, where it will spend 20 years. Nessus, to me, is about the compelling need to clean up your boundaries, to plug the leaks, to refine the contracts, to clarify the understandings. And there is the reminder that you are the one who is responsible in your own life for taking leadership in the process of this boundary cleanup process. Nessus is all about accountability, and the way things that you initiate come back to you. And so I in my ongoing kind of revision of my understanding of Nessus, especially in the context of Pisces, I'm saying this is about taking control of your boundaries in your most intimate partnerships. Those would be sexual and emotional partnerships, and they would be financial partnerships. All you really need to do is work for ongoing clarity. Make sure that there is clarity involved, that you know when there's not clarity, and then that you strive to become clear, and to then take that clarity into your relationships and form what is called an understanding. That means also understanding where other people are coming from. It means having a balance that could be called mutuality, but really, because you've got Pisces on the 8th, you have to stand as the gatekeeper to this entrance into your life. There's a lot of entrances into people's lives in the astrology chart. In a way, every house represents a kind of an entry portal, and there's some places that are easier to get in and some places that are harder to get in, but I think that one of the most wide-open entry portals in any chart, but especially Leo charts, which have Pisces there, is the 8th house. This would especially be true with Neptune making a long trip, very long trip, till I think about 2026 or something. So that's going to last for, you know, the foreseeable future, probably a bit beyond foreseeable future in that long. And Neptune itself represents an opening, and it's reiterating all the Pisces factors about that house, which are saying clarity, get clear, get that contract in writing, get that understanding in writing. Ask the person if they really know what you mean. Ask yourself if you know what other people mean. Then refine that dialogue with others and boil it down to its basic essence. Make sure you trust the people in your life. Make sure you trust the people that you have sex with and exchange money with. There's no room for lack of integrity around the exchange of money or the exchange of sex, or for that matter, the exchange of deep feelings, but that's not as important as the money and the sex part. With Nessus present in Pisces, there is no room to fuck up with that. Errors, okay, that's one thing, but once you know you've got a trust issue with somebody, once you know that you are doubting whether they have your best interests at heart, that is the time to focus your mind and to take action. Next player in this house is Chiron. Chiron is a powerful focalizing agent. It will help you in this process of ferreting out the truth, of ferreting out your own perspective, because Neptune and Pisces can be very vague and foggy. Nessus sometimes acts like a super Neptune, a super hypercharged Neptune. It's I believe, the only centaur that goes all the way out. It may even cross Neptune's orbit. So it is a very long period centaur. It is the most intimately involved with Neptune. And so Chiron is providing this focalizing agent that will help you get clear. Last player in this house is Borysici, and that is saying, watch what you believe. Know when you are taking something on the level of belief rather than on the level of what is solidly documented. All right, that is basically what I have to say to you. These are certainly very interesting times. I am aware that you may be confronted by a lot of challenges and challenging changes and the need to make progress and the need to get a handle, especially a handle on your physical environment and on your mental environment. Do what you can to clear out space in your physical world and in your mind so you have room and time to think. Don't forget to check your rising sign if you're Leo Sun. If you're curious about your relationships, I suggest you check out the Aquarius reading. If you want to get a sense of maybe where some important people in your life are coming from and what they are working through, feel free to explore the signs at leisure. There's something interesting in all of them. If any of the signs I've, you know, referenced in different topic areas of your life seem to, evoke your curiosity, you can listen to those signs for further information. You know, for example, work environment in Capricorn, there may be some good information there. In any event, thank you for listening. It is a pleasure and an honor to do this work for you. I'll catch you in a different sign or on a different day. Thank you.